Okay, that was my question. Thank you.
Okay, I'd just like to add that if you're seeing red on
a... Oh. I'm sorry. We got the language state, but we didn't get... The second part of my question was, what was the rationale, assuming that Nicole is adopting the inclusion of both, the word both, what is the rationale?
Well, the rationale is that to disenhance, I guess, the notion that, you know, we shouldn't be working together here. There's got to be some accountability. And, you know, to the executive director / CEO / president, with regards to at least reporting to, that doesn't mean, I, for example, felt that it was a good idea that the board evaluate the CFO, not the ED doesn't evaluate that. I mean, that is completely under your bailiwick. But I think to give the notion, and again, this is for whatever CFO might come into place. And Afia, if I could just say that this isn't based upon either my personal whatever. I'm just, my approach to this is, and this I believe I said the last time when we were reviewing the executive director's job description, is this is structural. This is a structural issue. It's not a personality issue. So I'm stepping back and I'm saying for the long term and for the long term structure, what's the most accountable structure we could build in to all of this? So it's much more, again, you know, if we can take that step back and say this isn't about a specific person. This is instead about structural issues within Pacifica, that this would be the most accountable issue structure for this position. You can't expect an executive director who ultimately would be evaluated, who ultimately would be fundraising, who ultimately would be held accountable by not just donors, but listeners and supporters and members. If there's not some kind of reporting accountability to the executive director, who then is the one who is held accountable by the people at large? If the executive director is the public face and the one who is held accountable, as I certainly am ready to take on that responsibility. I walked in thinking that was the responsibility because as general manager, I've always been held accountable. At the station level, if I was running a station, I've often had bookkeepers or accountants or controllers. They're not the ones that get grilled by donors or foundations or listener members. Ultimately, it's the executive director who gets grilled by that. So again, this is structural. It's not based on personality or a person. Does that help?
Yeah, that answer.
Okay. That answers my question. Unless she has something she wants to add to it. The question was what is her rationale?
Okay.
We're moving forward.
I can't hear. If people could just speak up a little bit, that would be great.
Okay. I think if Fia said that she was just interested in your rationale, I think, Fia, you were happy? You were content with that response?
If she's satisfied that she's fully articulated her rationale, then I have nothing to say. I'm just listening to her.
Okay, fine. Okay, Nicole, you want to move along then? That's a document?
Sure. I think I just got wireless again, too, so I'm hoping the wireless in this hotel is working.
Okay.
Great. So, then, still in that blue paragraph and first paragraph, I then added the CFO because for some odd reason, I guess that was missing or something. Mm. The next, I didn't, under definition, no changes. I believe I struck through in that third paragraph now that starts with the chief financial officer. I struck through the investment of funds and managed anything you see in green there. Although, let's see.
Did you mean to strike the second?
I am sure that I would not have struck through direct financial operations, okay, including payroll, internal controls, and auditing, and
okay,
establish
good.
And maintain the objectives and strategies for the finance department.
Okay, so that's a mistake in the document we're looking at. So, everyone, the paragraph under definition beginning, the chief financial officer oversees the organization's. The second sentence in green that has a strike through should not be struck through. The sentence that begins direct financial operations, including payroll, internal controls, etc. So that's an error.
Okay, and now we can go down to the third next paragraph, and I added he shall protect the assets of the organization and meet all standards of transparency and accounting principles as befits a nonprofit organization.
My OA, yes. Okay.
Okay, good.
Hi, AC. Donna Edwards is about to speak. But we're not there. Okay. So then going down to duties and responsibilities, on number two, it looks green. Let's see. For the executive director, so prepare financial reports and analysis at least quarterly and make presentations for the executive director, the national board, and the national board finance committee. Prepare reports for local station boards as requested. Now, I'm not sure if I added that prepare reports for local station boards as requested. I'm not sure how often that happens. All of you have a lot longer time within the organization to know whether or not, does that often happen?
Oh.
No.
Yeah. Short answer, no.
So we might want to strike that through, although at some point we have to think about the protocols of local station boards, the LSBs, with regard to what are the parameters they have for getting overall, like, foundation's financial information. What are the protocols we want, and what are the standards and practices we want to put into place? Because I have to say, you know, if Lonnie and I, for example, were to be, you know, to be fulfilling everybody's requests, we'd never get our work done. And, you know, this not only includes just a rather, you know, large board who I know that both of us are very accountable to and feel accountable to. But you know, when you add on five local station boards with, you know, over 20 people each, and then each one feels empowered that at any point they can make a request, that's really something the board needs to look at with regard to our workload and our capacity to do the job that we have to do with an extra layer of demand put on that.
Okay. Nicole, can
I... At the same time, that's where I believe the transparency and accountability issues, if those protocols are really put in place, then everybody should be happy because things are always transparent and accountable.
So are you saying that rather than put prepare reports for local station boards as requested, there would be something about overseeing protocol or for local station boards to get financial information?
Jack, I guess what I'm saying is we have to be aware of that, that it can be a double-edged sword. And again, not knowing how often this actually occurs and what kind of impact that has, I'm sure I'll learn about it real soon.
Yeah.
That has to be something that's considered.
Fine.
And maybe there should be stronger language that says, you know, prepare reports for local station boards for quarterly or annually or something like that. So while at the time I don't want to block out the local station boards being able to get transparency and accountability from either the EC or CFO, I think that we have to be aware that people could just get exhausted by that. There's way too many demands, and if each local station board member feels empowered to be able to make that ask, that really creates some conflict sometimes. Again, if protocols of the transparency and accountability are in place, proper reporting is put in place, in some ways, perhaps the local station boards should be going directly to the board and saying, or to their board members, and saying if they have, you know, requests or whatever, perhaps they have to make those requests through their PMB board members that also sit on the LSBs. Again, all of you have far more experience with regards to this governance situation. I'm just kind of raising up the issue that we as the folks that have to be answerable to everybody can get subsumed by that.
Excuse me. I think when Lonnie was talking about that, he described it in terms of emergencies as opposed to just a routine request. But in that same paragraph, I wanted to ask a question about your rationale with the apparent deletion of the Finance Committee as one of the bodies to which reports and analysis and presentations would be made.
Oh, I put that, I mean, that's there. I didn't correct through that. That wasn't there and then.
Yeah, Nicole added that in green.
Okay.
Bonnie misunderstood and thought it was a strike through. I think that's where the confusion's coming from.
Yeah, I would never strike through that. Of course, I think that, you know, because you are fiduciarily responsible, of course the National Board Finance Committee should also have financial reports and analysis prepared for them. Absolutely. Please do not consider that a strike through. I actually added that.
Yeah, I think we clarified that earlier. Okay, Sarv, you have a question?
Yeah, Nicole, did you add that it says prepare reports for local station boards as requested?
I can't really remember.
It's in green, right?
Right.
The greens are your additions?
That's what I thought, but, you know, what's weird is the whole sentence isn't in green. So, oh, I see. It probably read.
Can I say something? It's Dominga.
Please. I think maybe you can help with some memory.
I think some of these were, it's just partly green. It might have been that wording changes. So the sentence might have been there, and then a word in there might have changed, or the first part of the sentence would have changed, but there was still something in there about, excuse me, reporting to local station boards. I think that might be part of the confusion.
Yeah, I have the original wording here. It was not. This is from the original document. It wasn't added by anyone. Prepare financial reports and analyses at least quarterly and make presentations to the executive director, the national board, and local station boards as requested.
That's
so
nice.
The changes were entirely. Looks like the changes were entirely by Nicole there, and that's the green.
I'm not seeing the paragraph that you're. What's the first word in the paragraph?
Prepare.
It's number two under duties and responsibilities.
Yeah, prepare financial reports.
Okay. I'm trying to go back and forth between two documents. Okay.
Yeah. It had said make presentations to the executive director. Nicole adds the word for and replaces two with four, presentations for the executive director. And also adds the National Board Finance Committee. And
okay, and he took exception to four as opposed to two because four reduces him to her representative as opposed to the distinct position of the CFO. Is that
time?
Okay,
we're at time.
This is Evelyn.
Yeah, Evelyn.
Were we just going to let Nicole just go through what she's doing without discussing it?
Yeah, I think in the interest of time, we better just let you go on through, Nicole. I think that's a very good suggestion from Evelyn, and I'm going to adopt that as a rule, unless there's some serious objection.
Keep on going.
Yeah, why don't you just keep on going? We'll give you another 5 minutes.
Okay, thank you. So we go to number four, which is, per my laptop, is on page two. So number four under Pacifica Foundation, I inserted the word collaborate with other members of the senior management team on financial and fundraising priorities. Go down to eight, and we see there that in blue, there was assist with the hiring of local station business managers as requested. And I believe that I struck through as requested because I actually think that the CFO should assist with the hiring of local station business managers, at least with regards to the top candidates, helping the general managers and whatever committee is put in place to vet the best candidates. And since the CFO works very closely with the business managers, as well he or she should, I think my edit was a strike through of as requested. On 10, ensure proper management of all Pacifica assets, including real estate, investment funds, and SCAs, under the direction of the Executive Director and Pacifica National Board. Again, you know, I just think that that's pretty self-explanatory, and that, if the National Board is fiduciarily responsible, and the Executive Director is responsible with regard to reporting and accountability with regard to everybody, not just the National Board, but everybody, that they have to be included in the management of these assets. 12, provide financial leadership, advice, and financial transparency and establish financial goals for the network, working with the Executive Director and National Board of Directors. So you see what my additions were. Nobody operates all off on their own. Certainly the CFO should be also very much in an advisory capacity and establish the financial goals. But we all have to work together, or otherwise the financial goals can run smack dab into the reality of either what the stations are doing, what the fundraising is actually capable of, anything, if it's not being done, you know, all together. 12, let's see, so we did 12. At 13, I thought that was really important to add, ensures the foundation has the most current financial infrastructure available, specifically ensuring efficiency, planning, risk management, and financial protocols. We live in a time when there are some great financial systems that I think one thing that certainly, again, this is structural. This is not based on a person. But structural, you would want the best and most efficient financial infrastructure. You would want somebody with the knowledge base of that can implement that might cause efficiencies in economies of service, and that really help. In other words, the position keeps abreast of the industry standards in financial protocols, financial systems, which help with planning and efficiency. I was a little surprised actually that wasn't in the job description to begin with.
AC, I think we were going to let her just go through to the end.
Okay, go ahead.
Because we don't have a lot of time left. Okay.
Okay, under qualifications, I added there in the second. I thought I had put in there, well, here we go back to the master's degree. And I think y'all remember that when we vetted the ED job description and somebody had added master's degree, I think it's kind of imperative to tag what kind of master's degree. So, for example, with a CFO, you would want an MBA. You know, somebody may have a master's in English literature. I'm not so sure that qualifies her or him to be a CFO. But obviously, if you have an MBA, well, that's fantastic, because that would obviously is part of what a CFO would do or have. If they have a master's, it would be around business. But you know, that's not the only education or experience, because you can also have more than 10 years related experience, preferably in community or public broadcasting or nonprofit management and/or training. That was already there. Go down to the second paragraph there in blue, understanding of U.S. generally accepted accounting practice requirements, including the ability to express, I added, and demonstrate to others the requirements, and I added necessity for complying with such standards. This is a whole new paragraph. I think it's very important that you not only have the capacity to tell, but to show, and hence demonstrate. Also, it's very important that a CFO be able to brief a board of directors, be able to advise a board of directors on why it's necessary for complying with these standards. Get down to the next sentence. There was nothing in there before. People added in blue. Candidate will have demonstrated familiarity with all stages of SEC reporting, Sarbanes-Oxley. I added all GASB and FASB regulations and CPB reporting requirements. CPB, of course, being peculiar to our industry. And that's not to say, you know, somebody's going to instantly know, but truly, if, for example, if you have more than 10 years related experience in public broadcasting or community broadcasting, they're going to know all about CPB reporting and requirements. And it's not that it's that complicated. It is an odd unit, if you will, CPB. But I do, you know, it's absolutely critical that whoever the CFO of Pacifica is knows very well what the requirements of reporting from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is. They are a funder, and they require some pretty intense reporting. Now, let's see. I added, okay, jump down to page 3, Pacifica Foundation. There you see the first paragraph. I added $5 million or more. I don't know what was there before. Excuse me for not being able to remember.
It was 3.
But I think that's the minimum level of experience that you would want from a CFO. You know, it's very different managing a budget of $1 million as opposed to, you know, the foundation's budget. So $5 million to me was the baseline for that. And then we come to, boy, mine doesn't go all the way down, but we have all the rest there in that second paragraph. I actually remember I struck through it all. Specialize and define. That was all struck through. I struck through strong delegation and decision-making skills. I struck through ability to read and analyze. I struck through ability to work with mathematical concepts, such as probability, statistical. I mean, in a job description, that's a given. To me, that's a given for your top financial person. I struck through ability to define problems, collect data, establish facts. That is a given. The board of directors should be able to know that and vet that way before they hire a candidate.
Okay.
That's something that candidate brings to the table.
Nicole, I'm afraid we're really out of time for this item. And in fairness...
It's Sophia changing phones.
Yeah, I wonder if you could wrap up with just the last section, which is 11 through 21.
Right. I don't even have that.
You don't have that.
Well, again, I think it would be much better to strike through all that other stuff.
Yeah.
And then roll down to strong preference for CPA certification. That was in blue. That wasn't my addition, but I certainly concur with that. Strong leadership and team building capabilities. Not my language, not my version. I concur with that. I added demonstrated because I think that's something Pacifica needs to begin to do in all facets, not just with their two top positions. I think everybody should be able to bring demonstrated skill set, no matter what their area of work is. Then you see that I added demonstrated ability to oversee a complex financial structure with transparency, accuracy, confidentiality, and impartiality. I believe that that's very important for an organization like Pacifica, which, you know, demands that of everybody, and we should be able to model that. We should have the highest standards of transparency. Demonstrated ability to manage fluid and fluctuating revenue without crisis. We are in an organization, if you will, that is dependent. The bulk of our majority is listener-sensitive. That means people. That means people that have to make a choice between $5 per gallon of milk or, a $60 membership or a $30 membership. This fluctuates all the time, and it affects our bottom line whether we like it or not. I added ensuring financial stability of the foundation. Again, anybody you bring on, you would want that from in your CFO. I added understanding and commitment to the Pacifica Foundation mission statement because all the other I had struck out above it. In other words, just getting more succinct language in there. I added demonstrated capability to think and plan strategically for strategic financial planning. Demonstrated ability to explain to a highly diverse set of stakeholders financial models, strategies, and assessments in regard to the foundation's assets. And again, when I mean stakeholders, I mean not just the board of directors, but those LSBs, the general managers who have to then put together 4 fund drives a year, the major donors, all of that. Those are all our stakeholders. And then I go down to... excellent communication skills. I added that second sentence to that, demonstrated ability to explain to a highly diverse set of stakeholders. And then finally, there is strong computer skills, and I added demonstrated understanding of new technologies, which can aid in financial efficiencies, transparencies, and the foundation's economies. Because that stuff is out there, and I think it really behooves us at any point to be able to use these new technologies, whether they're systems, protocols, whatever, because they really can create efficiencies and transparency. And they're there. They're getting developed every day.
Okay. All right.
That's
thank
it.
You. Great.
Thank you, everybody. Should I log off?
If you want to make any final comment. Go right ahead. Otherwise, we're a little behind. Yeah, is that Afia?
This is Mia, really quickly. Hi, Nicole.
Yeah.
Hi.
Did you didn't strike 6 and 7, did you? Did I
strike which one, Mia?
6 and 7. Under duties and responsibilities. That wasn't your strike, right?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Nia, do you mean 6 saying assist with the hire of local station business managers, that one?
Yeah, that wasn't yours, you said. I just want to double check.
No, that wasn't my strike, too. I actually think it would be good to assist with
that. Right. And also number 7. I just want to make sure you said you agree with those. Okay, not a problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Nia. Thank you, everybody.
Okay.
If, again, just understand that my point of departure for this is not anything written about me or written about our current CFO. It's really to help the structural issues because that's what these are. These are big picture job descriptions. They're not based on a single person.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming out of the call.
Thank you, everybody, for your work. Forward we go. AC, maybe see you tomorrow.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Sarv, did you have a comment?
15 minutes.
Yeah, that's correct. There's only 15 minutes left, and we have two agenda items remaining. The first is the path ahead for this committee. I think I'm trying to get my agenda up. Oops, not it. There it is. Yeah, next steps. What I'm suggesting is that maybe we take Dominguez's three choices plus Lonnie's preference, think about them and come back to our next meeting, which will be a closed session, and put them to a vote, is my proposal. And I'm wondering what people would think of that, or else then bring that recommendation to the national board.
Could I ask, this is Ifea, ask, there was some information on the comments that she was making that I don't see on any of the drafts that I have to do with dollars. Instead of being at $1 million, it's $5 million.
Right.
I don't know what that.
It was the size of the organization. The earlier draft had said must have managed an organization of at least $3 million, a budget of at least $3 million, and she made it $5 million.
Am I overlooking that in the various drafts that I have, or do I need that sent to me?
It's also in the one that Lonnie's changes are in. If maybe you can find it in that one, Sophia.
Okay. I don't want to stop you all because I want to get off the phone. But okay.
Skills and abilities, number two. Skills and abilities, it's number two under that.
It's in all those strikes. There's so many strikeouts that you probably lost it. It's in green. It's kind of small.
Oh, yeah, I do see it here. Okay, thank you.
Budgets of X million dollars or more. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this is Sarv.
Yeah, Sarv.
I, from my vantage point here, I have a little bit of a hard time telling whose changes are being made where and whose ideas are where. And I would like, before we do anything, because nobody seems to own. You ask somebody, and they say, well, that's not mine.
Yeah,
somebody else will change. And even though the color coding is blue is by.
Right.
And unless we get a clear, all the changes that.
Yeah.
It's going to be very difficult, and we're going to come up with a very, very
flawed
document.
No, I don't think we can work really any further from these documents. I think they've been useful in getting us the intent of the two individuals. And beyond that, I think we have to try to work from something a little more concrete. The underlying issue that I think is going to be the central issue, that once we decide everything else seems relatively minor, is the question of the CFO ED relationship, or the CFO hyphen PNB hyphen ED, somewhat triangular relationship. In Dominguez's February 1 report, I think she's sort of nicely laid out that there are three basic options that Pacifica can follow, because our bylaws have already determined that the CFO is reportable to the national board, and since the national board hires, evaluates, and can terminate the CFO, that pretty much settles it. Everything else is a matter of policy that would have to fall under what's in the bylaws. And there are some specifics about the roles and duties of the CFO and ED in the bylaws as well. I think Dominguez done a good job of taking that all into consideration and laying out three options that are competing options. They don't coexist. In her February 1 report, number one is the CFO answers to both PNB and ED, creating a clear link between finance and administration. That would be a dual reporting structure. Number two, all Pacifica staff, including the national finance staff, with the exception of the CFO, answer to the ED, also creating a link but keeping intact the CFO-PNB reporting relationship. To my mind, this is not a dual reporting relationship, but others may disagree. Number three, it is made explicit in the job descriptions that the national finance staff and the CFO are out of the realm of responsibility of the ED, splitting the financial and administrative departments of the organization and having both report directly to the board. So those are the three underlying structural avenues that the foundation can follow within the current bylaw structure. Anything else, I think, would require a change of the bylaws, which is not an easy thing to do. So what I'm proposing is that this committee could come back at our next meeting and deliberate in closed session which of these options, or if we have a fourth option or fifth option that we might want to follow as the foundation for then deciding on the job description. Otherwise, I think the job descriptions are too complex to take up without first resolving this issue, and we're just going to hit it again and again and again. So are there any comments?
Yeah, AC.
AC, go ahead.
Yeah, well, first of all, I like the way you described it, and I think that perhaps we should have the lawyer to vet these issues as they relate to the bylaws. Any changes that relate to the bylaws should be explained. And because, for example, this issue of being responsible to everyone, while I think the CFO is responsible to everyone, the question is he's principally responsible to the board. And I guess if the board wanted to release it to everyone, they could. Or if wanted to direct him to do so, they could do that as well. But that's not in the bylaws, but responsible to everyone. That has to be addressed. So I think what you have said already pretty closely resembles what I would say. I think you mentioned policy. There can be policies made, perhaps that's not inconsistent with the bylaws. There can be policies set as to a working relationship between the CFO and the ED. I think that can happen, but the question of getting around the bylaws can't help. I mean, it can't happen without a change in the bylaws. We know that. So, but I mean, in terms of the whether or not the official and structural relationship, which is the CFO has to report to the board, there's nothing I can see that's wrong with that CFO, given the ED the same sort of report. Now, it's up to the board whether they want it first or want it last or want it in between. That's a matter that the board has to decide. But at least, I would think that she should know everything, where all the money is and everything else. There should be transparency in that direction, it seems to me.
Okay, AC, I just think that for now we're getting into the merits of the structural issue. What I think we need to resolve is how the committee can move forward, although we're out of time. Actually, we've set the meeting to adjourn in about a minute.
Well, we 10 minutes extension.
Okay. Is there an objection to extending by 10 minutes?
And please watch our time, because some of us really have to leave the call to go to another call.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So the question is, you know, when this committee reconvenes in closed session, will we be able to take up this underlying structural issue? Not the job descriptions per se, but can we come and make a recommendation for how the question of the CFO and these various reporting issues can be settled? I recommend starting with Dominguez's options. We may want to elaborate or introduce others. But what I'm wondering is, can we agree to come back to our next meeting and try to resolve this issue to make a recommendation to the National Board in Houston at our next meeting?
I mean, the SARV?
Yes, SARV, go ahead.
I don't think we can promise that at this moment. I think what we have to do is we have to meet and take a look at those options and look at the merits of it and go at them in a serious intent of resolving it. And if we do resolve them, then that's great. And if we don't, well, we don't.
We can try.
We'll try.
Let me ask one question. Was some of these items meant to be a proposed structure relationship that we should work towards, or were they designed to be incorporated immediately? I'm not sure that I quite understand.
I'm going to ask Dominga. Can you respond?
Sure. All of them were just drafts. None of them were. You mean the job descriptions or the proposed?
No, the three choices from your report.
Oh, those to me, okay, that report and those choices to me came out of, I believe the PMB asked that Ambrose, Lonnie, Nicole, Dan, and I try to hash these out on our own in a call. And those choices to me are what seemed to be what was being discussed. That was the way I chose to summarize what we weren't coming into agreement over. And when I said that on the call, the only person who agreed was Nicole, and like I said in my write-up, nobody else agreed or disagreed.
Okay. Does that answer your question, AC?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Taking into consideration what SARV says, not wanting to set expectations too high, maybe we can agree that at our next meeting we will begin to try to resolve these questions.
Chair, this is Nia.
Nia,
sorry.
Go ahead.
You could finish your sentence. I just didn't want us to go off.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
What was it?
I said you could finish. I just wanted to be recognized.
Okay, go ahead, Nia.
Yes. The next meeting cannot be in closed session because we're simply discussing the job descriptions. We're not discussing any personnel matters. So that cannot be in closed session. That's number one.
Yes.
Pardon?
Okay. Well, aren't we going to get into that a little bit into personnel when we start talking about the ED and the CFO?
Yeah.
I believe so.
I think it would be safer to at least call it as a closed session so that members can speak freely and we can maybe get away from, I feel a little bit nervous holding these discussions in open session.
Well, as long as no one is criticizing, there are no structural changes.
We don't know what that conversation is going to be.
May I finish, please?
I'm sorry. Forgive me.
Yeah. Okay.
And there are no structural changes. I don't see why we're doing this in executive session. That's number one. Number two, could I suggest that between all these versions, if maybe Dominga could put them in one document. And I think at this point, I guess it is important to know who strikes what or who wants what. That's not that important to me. What's important is that we come up with a document that fits anybody and any size. So if we have one document with green or blue, for example, duties and responsibilities, all the suggested changes so that we're working from one thing. And from there, at the next meeting, in open session, that we may could take them item by item and vote on them so that we can have something ready for the next in-person PNB meeting, because that will not be in closed session in Houston.
Well, maybe we should put it to a vote as to whether to hold our next meeting in closed session. According to Robert's rules, it requires a majority. Does anyone else want to speak to the issue of whether to be in open or closed session at our next meeting?
This is Evelyn Jack.
Okay, Evelyn.
could we schedule both? Because sometimes that's what we've done is had open session. And that way, if we get to a point where we feel like we might need to go to an executive session, we can do that.
Okay. I can notice it as open and closed, and we can begin an open session, and then if we feel the need, we can go into closed session. It's harder to get out of closed session because we can't get Otis, and we have to. Listeners won't know that we're coming out, whereas if people are listening, they will at least know that we're convening.
Okay.
So is there any objection to that? I'll notice the meeting is open and closed, just in case. And
Joe Gonzalo.
Joe. Know what?
He's logging off for the next call.
Yeah, that's the next call. I wonder if we need to
adjourn.
We do need to adjourn, and we can postpone this this motion, that's the remaining agenda item, to our next meeting, since we're going to be meeting an open session.
I move to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
So move.
Okay, any opposition? Okay, hearing none, this meeting's adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for coming.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye.